Okay.
You know, honestly, I was just thinking, even before I came up here, I was sitting down before the last chorus that we sang, and I have to be completely honest with you, I'm a little overwhelmed. Just a little overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit is... See, this part I hate about myself. Bob, I learned from Bob that I just breathe in and I'm fine, right? Breathe in. Just breathe in. I actually felt before the last song we sang that I don't want to go up there like this. That's what I was saying to myself and to God. So I do not want to go up in front of the people right now the way I'm feeling, because I'm ashamed of my passion a little bit. I'm ashamed of what God might be doing in my heart. I'm ashamed of my emotions, and I don't want you to see that. But I do understand that it's important that you see that. I do understand that it's important that we embrace the Holy Spirit. I do understand it's important that we go with the movement of the Holy Spirit and we allow Him to break our hearts. And thanks, Chris, for singing. And it's always good to be led by our youth, right? And to hear of a passion. Interesting, today is the International Day of the Persecuted Church. And I was sent an email just to look at that, and oh my goodness. Wow. You just wonder sometimes, why is it like this in this world? Why are people dying daily on the hour? Why do they have to die for their faith? And yet they are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your passion that you want to stir in our hearts, and I have to surrender myself to let you do that, as much as I don't want to. So have your way, God. Today it is International Day of Prayer, which is significant in the sense that all churches are praying for those persecuted churches, persecuted peoples around the world, whether it be here in Canada or around the world. And so, Father, in your Holy Spirit's power, stir a passion in our hearts. There's a lot of fear in some countries and people hiding, and yet they're hiding in you, God. And I trust that they would find you, they would find hope even as they pass away, in honor of you, in glory to you. And may your will be done, Father. May you move our hearts to continue to pray and to continue to move forward in our, what we feel as often, persecution as well. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I just feel like I just turned off, did I? All right. I don't have a lot of voice, so you're going to have to give me help up here, David Watson, my friend Watson. I whenever I work up here and Watson's up there, my former youth leader, it's pretty exciting for me because we always work together, right, in youth ministries. And I got to tell you, and Ethan and all those guys who helped me for so many years, it's exciting. And it stirs something within me as well. We are, although on a new step, right, our church in many ways. And so was Moses. So let's read the first part of Exodus 3. And if you have a Bible, you can open to it, or your phones, or whatever. I'm reading from my Bible, so I don't think we'll put it up there. Why don't you put the first three verses up there, or whatever it was, that first part, Patrick? Okay, so Exodus 3:1 says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flocks to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Interesting, mountain of God. Isn't that awesome that they would call it that? Wow. Because that's where God met Moses, right? And that's where it's the mountain of God. And interesting that Moses is out wandering with his sheep. Not wandering, actually finding, taking care of them and finding places where they can feed. And he's out in the wilderness and he comes to the mountain of God. And it says, "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up." So Moses thought, "I will go over and I will see this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up?" By the way, this is not the first time Moses was attracted to fire. You guys attracted to fire at all? Okay, then you're a pyro. there are definitions for people like that, who are attracted to fire, like to set fires and that type of thing. And it's actually a mental illness, isn't it? It's nothing to laugh about. But, sorry. But we also are attracted to fire just naturally, aren't we? Like, we like campfires, right? And we have ways of keeping it safe now, so we bring our propane tank with us, and we light those up, so that we don't cause a lot of grief on our island. But we do like fires. Moses also likes fires, and he was attracted to this one. But he had a fire earlier on, so why don't we move back a little bit more? Let's go to Exodus 2, verse 11. And as I read through that, this is kind of going to be not the rest of the story, but some of the rest of the story. And some of you know some of the rest of the story, but let's share it anyhow, because we do know that Moses was unique in this time. The Hebrew people were not necessarily a nation, but they're more like a big family, a group of people, and they all identified with each other, and they have descendants that they came down from, and they have a covenant from God. And so there's an exciting future there, but they're not there yet, it would appear. And yet within it, God wants to provide something for them, just like us. Within our journey, God wants to provide for us. So in Exodus 2, verse 11, it says, one day, after Moses had grown up, a lot is in that one little section right there, after he's grown up. By the way, he grew up in the palace. He was a Hebrew boy that was set to be murdered, but he wasn't. He was saved, what? By the king's daughter, taken into the palace, trained in every way he could need to be trained in order to be a leader. Wow, wasn't that awesome? God just took him and did that. That's God's activity. Can I remind you, God is always active in our lives, in our kids' lives, our family's life, at work. I was just, and I'll do it really quickly here, but I was on a journey this morning. I know some of you guys say, oh, no, here we go. Rob was on a journey. I went to the Esquimalt Church this morning. I just really wanted to pray with Paul, right? Pastor Paul. And so I did. I prayed with him. And while I was there, I was talking to another man who was there, and he was sharing his journey on frustrations at work. Give our frustrations at work. But he was saying how he just didn't know what to do with it. And we together realized, wow, but God is active. I don't see it. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time at work, but he's active. God's activity. I was reminded of that this morning by this man, and I want to remind you too. I don't know where you're at, what you're doing at school, work, play, whatever. God is active. He's doing stuff in the lives that you are so concerned about, so worried about, and you're trying to take control of it. Well, stop it. Please, stop it. You're just hurting yourself and those people. Let God do his work. So anyhow, that was too much to say on that little section there. Anyhow, he was growing up. He went out to where his own people were, the Hebrew people. So here he is coming from the palace to his people. He saw an Egyptian being beaten, Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that, he's looking around to see if no one was around. He killed the Egyptian, and he hit him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrews? So he's actually trying to help the Hebrews, his own people now. The man said, who made you ruler or judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. And then the story went crazy. Pharaoh knew. And Pharaoh's chasing Moses, trying to kill him. And what does Moses do? He runs. Can I suggest in this passage that Moses was in fact drawn to a fire? But unfortunately, it was a fire within him. And it was self-centered. Yeah, I believe it was driven to help and it had good intentions, but it was self-centered and it was abrupt and it wanted to take care of things right there, and it used all his training, his abilities to fight, and he used it and he pounced on what he thought was the right thing to do. But that was not the time. That was not the place. That was not the fire he was supposed to be attracted to. That was his own. And how often are we like that? I'm going to be really harsh this morning about this part of it, because I'm learning also. As parents, what kind of fire are we going towards? I know I've seen in my life and people around me that sometimes not only will I try to take control of what's happening in my children's lives and people that I know to make things right, that I'll actually go to the Bible, the precious word of God, and I'll try to proof text it to make it work for me and to manipulate it so that it will change the life of the person that I'm trying to change. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with us? You can't do that. No, no, no. That's our fire. You know what? When Moses was going to his fire was lighting him up. He looked pretty good, he thought. Look at my abilities. Look at my strength. Look how I can change things. I can make it right. And that's what happens with us too. We go to our own fire and we actually do look good. We've studied about it. We know the pop culture is saying about it. We've been to seminars. We got it all figured out. And now we're going to use the Bible too. And we're going to straighten out our kids. And we forget, wait a minute, I got to go to another fire. I just totally missed the point. And actually, I'm getting burnt by this fire. It's hurting me. And it's hurting the people around me. And it's not only showing maybe how good I am, it's actually showing how bad I am. And I'm starting to get a little bit afraid of what's happening here. It's getting out of control. I actually don't want to camp at this fire anymore. I don't want to camp out here anymore. And I don't think you do either. But let's camp out here a little bit longer. Because even though it's awkward, hard, uncomfortable, perhaps as we camp out and look at the decision that Moses made that was improper for the time that he made it, maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to us and show us where we're doing the same thing. Where might it be that we're doing that? Because I'm doing that often, too often. And part of it is anxiety. I just feel like I have to do it. I have to take control of the situation. That could be the case in school, for sure. It could be the case in different sporting events. It could be the case in all sorts of things where we take control and we rationalize things so that we feel like we're in control of things. You know what? It's interesting. Have you guys ever been like this? I'm kind of weak this way. In order to make myself feel better, I'll do things that I'm good at, and when I finish them, I'll just feel better. Guess what I'm good at? You're going to laugh at this. I'm pretty good at cleaning the house sometimes. Maybe it's not spick and span and looking great. Patty's not here, is she? My wife's not here, so I can keep talking. Yeah, so I do that. I'll clean up things, get them all in order, particularly now that I only have two at home. It makes it easier, right? So you clean up and it actually stays clean. That's a miracle. I love that part of my house. You can actually clean a room, leave it, and go back. Oh, my goodness, it's still there. I just have to dust it now. But anyhow, so I do that, and I feel better. Or I'll vacuum, and I feel better. Or I'll cut the lawn and take the leaves away. I'll feel better. But, you know, it's kind of this sort of very temporary thing. And I'm not saying don't do those things. Now you're saying, I don't have to do anything. Good, thanks, Rob. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, let's do those things. Let's feel good about it. But let's see it only as a simple example of the beauty that God's going to give us when we rest in Him, the feeling of peace and hope. It's so much greater because we don't have to do a thing then. We actually just have to come into His presence, which we're going to find out with Moses here too. But on what we do, and let's stay camping a little bit longer at this fire, what we tend to do, we want to get our poking into the fire. We want to start changing it, manipulating it, making it right. So when we're at work, we're going to figure out how to make it work. And we're going to push people. We're going to push them hard. We're going to figure out why they're doing it. We're going to abruptly confront them. And we're going to lay it on them. We're going to make it right because I need to be justified. I need to be made right. I need to be lifted up. And so we just carry on in our workplaces. We might do it at home too. We might do it in sports. We might do it in a variety of areas. And all we do is we find ourselves alienated. By the way, did you know that Moses was an alien in his own land? Did you know that? So as we walk through the story, you're going to see that as well. He had to work through something and find a place where he was going to go to become home again. Do you want to be home again? Do you want to be in a place where you can be at peace and relax and know that you're taken care of and that you can walk through these problems without having to take control yourself and make yourself look bright and beautiful? Because God can do that so much better than any of us can. So Moses did what he could, but then he ran. It says that Pharaoh chased him. And when Moses fled from Pharaoh, he went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. And in verse 16 of chapter 2, it says, now a priest of Midian just so happened to be there. And he came out. He had seven daughters, and they had come to draw water to fill their buckets with water for their father's flock. Some of the shepherds came along and drove them away. So they ran into some troubles, the seven girls. Thank goodness Moses was there. But Moses got up, and he came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, why have you returned so early? And they answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and And then he said, where is he? Well, his daughter said, why did you leave him there? Invite him to come and have something to eat with us. So Moses agreed and stayed with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. They had a baby, and it carried on to the point where now we find him at the base of this mountain. God's taken care of him all along. Come on, guys. He was lighting his own fire. He was showing himself as being the one in charge. We do that too. Take hope in this. God is walking with Moses all along. And he just continues to provide for him. He used all those skills again. He chased off these shepherds who were giving those girls a hard time because he knew how to. And he had the confidence to do it. Even though he just went through a moment where he had to run and flee, wondering where he was going to do, what he was going to do. And yet God took care of him. He provided for him. And he walked through what might have been appeared to be a wilderness to us, but to him it was training ground. And God did the training that he could do in his heart now. He had the training from the Pharaoh for sure, but now his heart's being trained. People, don't stop with just the discipleship or just the learning the leadership skills or learning how to do something that you want to do. Actually let God change your heart. Stir a fire in my heart, God, so that I can actually put these skills to use that are going to make a difference not only in the lives around me, but in my life. So here he is. Here we are back at the story, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him within the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do you notice that nothing was said from God and the bush until Moses actually looked over that way, until he moved over that way? Do you realize what that means? We got to be looking over that way. We got to be moving over that way. We got to go make a move. Make a move. Move towards God and let him share with you what he's calling you to do. And what he said in verse 5 was, do not come any closer. Stop right there. God said, we got some work to do first. Moses, you got to take off your sandals. Take them off. And of course, we know that it's holy ground, right? It's God's place. And we know that when the priests would come and do their work, they take off their sandals, they go in, they're on holy ground. So that's kind of that idea. He's coming before God. But it's more to it. It kind of identifies who Moses is. His sandals are who he is. What's on his sandals will show who he is, what he's been into. It's his life. It's his weaknesses. It's his strengths. It's all of that. He's taking all of that off, stepping on his bare feet on the ground, feeling the ground, feeling the holy place where God is, and once again allowing God to come unhindered into his life and speak to him. That's where we need to be. And what they call it is surrender. Moses is now drawn to the fire of God. He's learned that it's not about him. And there's something greater. I need God in my life. Stir a passion. What does it take for me to turn and to actually go towards you? Because Moses didn't have to. He could have kept with his sheep. He could have done his thing and just carried on. But he was caught. God caught his attention. Is God catching your attention? And if he is, please go that way. Go that way today and take off your sandals. In other words, deal with the things in your life that you need to. Just say, God, what is it I need to take off here? What things have I been doing that are hindering my relationship with you, would allow you to work through me, set me free, so that I can draw your fire within my heart to move? And he will show you gently. And it won't be everything, but it'll be the things that he can work through at that time. And he will draw you closer. He says, take your sandals off, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid of God. He said, you're that God that I learned about through my mom. You're that God. And he mentioned all his descendants. That's my family. I get that. This is unbelievable. I cannot believe it. I can't even look at you. We are ashamed because we come before a God. We know who we are and all the mistakes we've made. But God still engages with us. And get this. In that culture, and also sometimes in our culture, when we come home, what do? We take off our shoes and we walk in unhindered. And we embrace our family. God is saying to him, I am the God of your ancestors, of your descendants. Come on home, Moses. And he's saying to us, take off your shoes. Take them off. Come on home. And let me do my work. Let me set you free. Let me show how I'm going to work in the people around you and the lives around you. Expect it. Because I am the God that can change all things. And do you know, we all know this, that Moses was the guy that came and gave the fought with the 10 plagues and eventually got the Israelites free, and away they went. Those 10 plagues were all directed against different things that those Egyptians believed their gods could handle, but our God was far greater. And so that's what he was saying also. I am the God. I am is going to go with you. So let's read on a little bit further. The Lord said in verse 7, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slavery that's driving them. And he went on to share all of this with him. And Moses said to God, but who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Did you not see what I did earlier? Did you not see my flame burning bright as I was so bold to go and set them free? God, who am I to do that? And God said, I will be with you. He's already welcomed them home, right? Now he's saying, I will be with you. Not only did he say that, he said, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain as they did. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites. I could just hear myself saying this. God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? And then, what shall I tell them, God? What shall I do? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Don't be distracted from the fire that is burning. Yes, it can be a fire that reveals who we are and causes us to wonder if there's any hope for us. But it is also a fire that sets us free, because we didn't realize that as we surrender those things, he makes us new. Did you know, and I think you all knew this, and I'm almost finished here, but one of the things that Moses struggled with, and he used it as a big argument, was that he couldn't speak. And yet he was sent to be a spokesperson. Well, you'll notice that God didn't really change that. That's who Moses was. So, yeah, we're broken. We don't have all the skills and abilities. Trust me, I know that about myself, and I'm terrified every time I think about myself being a lead pastor at this church. But it's okay, God says. That's all right. This is who you are. Don't worry, I'll give you a Joshua, or I'll give you this, or I'll take care of you in this way. Do you trust God? So his light not only reveals, it purifies. It shows us as being the child of God that we truly are, not the lies that say we aren't and that we're not worth anything. And why don't you just give up now? No. That's camping out at the wrong fire. You're at the wrong fire if you're hearing that. It's time to come over to the true fire that burns forever and brings light to your life that can transform and make new. And if you're wondering how could it ever happen, just remember 1 John 1:9, our God is faithful and just, and as we confess our sins, he will forgive us and heal us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, make us new. I have a word for you today. If you want to camp out at a fire, camp out at God's fire and allow him to show you something new. It will not be easy, no. Moses' life, you can read the rest of the story, go home and read it. It's hard. He didn't even get to go into the promised land. Wah, right? No, not so much. God is active. He's in control. He is doing his thing. He will take us where we need to go and stop us where we can't go. He will guide us. He is the one in control. Can we surrender to a sovereign God like that? Can we come before him? And as we go forward in things, can we have confidence not in ourselves but in God, in Christ Jesus? Because today, now, not only can we just come to this campfire and sit at it and see it burn forever, we actually go to the cross of Jesus, where he came and died for our sins so that we could be made whole. So let's go there. Why don't we camp out there and find the God that gives us life, eternal, forever and provides us with the Holy Spirit that can empower us. And so, God, we want to glorify you by becoming Christ-centered. Give us the mind of Christ. We want to be Spirit-empowered. And God, we want you to move us so that we can make you known among us, around us, and beyond us. God, we expect, in fact, for God to change lives, right? To bring people into relationship with Jesus. Let's just expect that as our body. Let's go forward and see that happen. Can we do that? Let's do that as we go. And as we go, let's not be the champion of our story. Can we stop talking about ourselves and who we are? Let's talk about Jesus, and let's share what he's doing. And in our lives, let's act like that too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word from Moses. It's a very clear message. We want more of life, and we just keep going to the wrong places. Bring us to your eternal fire. Bring us to your cross. Bring us to Jesus. Bring us in relationship with him so that we might experience your Holy Spirit's movement in our life. So we just commit ourselves to you in this way and ask that you would even work in those I know that maybe don't know you, that they would have an opportunity to share who you are. As a matter of fact, just let me lead you in a prayer. So if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior this morning, here's a simple prayer you can pray. You can just come to God, come to the foot of the cross, and take your sandals off and say, "Dear Jesus, I recognize that I am not worthy of you, but I do ask that you would come into my life, that you would save me, you'd make me whole, and that I could walk with you for the rest of my life." And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.